Charity is very important. It believes all things. I'm going to read verse 7 again. Charity beareth all things, believes all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. The everlasting love of God in action is charity. It never faileth. But people let it go. You don't let that go. You hold on to it. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, there are situations where all these things are true, but you can't use verse 8 to say, well, speaking in tongues went away with the apostles. That's a lie that Satan told somebody, and they ran with it. Because if you yield to the Holy Spirit, you'll start speaking in tongues. Paul in chapter 14 said, I speak in tongues more than you all. So, where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Now watch this. This is when those things will vanish away. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Then he explains why. When I was a child, I spake as a child, and understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But see, in our hour before Jesus come back, there's a lot of rottenness all around us. So we're going to need everything in verse 8. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, we're going to need prophecy. And prophecies are very important. But sometimes the people try to preach or prophesy something God didn't send, and it fails. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Even true prophecies. Prophecies are given, just like when the prophet said that there would be a drought back in the days of Acts, and the drought came. But it was done so that people could prepare and repent. All right. Jonah prophesied that Nineveh would be destroyed in 3 days. But now he prophesied that and he told the truth. But they repented. They changed the facts and God didn't have to judge them. And then he was upset because prophecy in his eyes and opinion failed. But it didn't fail in the eyes of God because the prophecy warned the people. So God didn't have to do the judgment. You have to understand that. You can't be dumb. Prophecy has a purpose. Repentance is the premise of prophecy. That's what you want. If I have to prophesy something terrible and then people repent, well, the prophecy did its job. And I'm not a false prophet, because if they didn't repent, they'd have gotten hurt. All right? So prophecies, they'll fail in their own right. But they do their purpose, just like tongues. See, when Jesus come back, he won't have to speak mysteries. He's going to get rid of sin. There won't be any sinners to mess up things. All the wicked are going to be gone. That's when tongues will cease. There won't be any need to speak a mystery anymore. But they're necessary now. The Lord, when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit helps us pray. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Knowledge. What people know. Sometimes people know what they know is what they think they know. It's really not knowledge. Sometimes what they know is deception. And then if a wicked man has knowledge, it just like you said up here in what verse was that? Though he understand all things, if he have love, he's nothing. So when people that are well educated in the things of God, yeah, here it is, verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And if a person like that get in sin, then they die. the knowledge is gone when they die. When people are educated and die, all of their knowledge is out of our realm unless they recorded it. So if a dead man had great knowledge without recording it, and then he dies, the knowledge is gone from this realm. His knowledge is gone unless he left a legacy, which is recordings, or not only on paper, but interactions with people. If he taught the right people, his legacy remains. But if he learned a lot of things, found secrets, and never recorded it and never shared it with anybody, and then died, his knowledge is out of our realm and out of our reach. See, knowledge can fade, vanish away. Okay, verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. So whenever we prophesy, we do prophesy in part. We give people enough information to go on. See, the Lord is still concealing information from the wicked and giving grace to the humble. Isaiah in chapter 8 said, the Lord told Isaiah to seal up the law among my disciples. See, God always has a remnant. And you have to, and the Lord speaks things in parables. Jesus said, I speak in parables to them that are without. So if he's speaking to you in parables, you need to get saved. Or you need to ask him the meaning of it so that you can repent, so that you can live. See, the disciples didn't always understand the parables. Even and the Pharisees were more educated. They knew what he was talking about. But the fishermen and the tax collectors, they had to ask questions. So they asked questions. And Jesus told them, and he expected them to understand it. So when the Lord speaks to you in parables, you need to say, Lord, why? Well, I need, help me get right with you. And always ask for knowledge. You need to know what God is trying to get over to you. Sometimes the Lord come to me with things, and it's a hard thing to receive, or it's something I don't have any experience with. And I say, Lord, help me get what you're saying. I pay attention in that season, and he starts dealing with me. And every time he start, I say, oh, here we go. I say, help me to understand. I'm going to learn it all. And then I ask for confirmations. And I don't go around telling people what I'm trying to understand. God calls them to say what I need. You're going to have to learn to do these things, because in this realm, the enemy don't want you to know what God wants you to know. So very important to understand these things. So that's why verse 9 says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, when Jesus split the sky and come then and start his kingdom here, you know, I put it this way, after the last war ever, which is the war of Gog and Magog, at the end of Jesus' millennial reign, he's going to reign for 1,000 years, in the covenant week. We're living in the covenant week now. And the covenant week mirrors the restoration week, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Now, Genesis 1 verse 1 is the creation. That's the only creation verse. 2 on down is restoration, even when God made man in his image. Now, some will say, well, that's a creation. I give them that. But he made them out of the earth. So, when people say, well, the earth was created, well, verse 1 is when God created the earth. From 2 to the last verse of chapter 1 and go on into chapter 2, those are restoration. That's a restoration process. That's what I call the restoration week. He restored the earth so that he could use it. The earth is where he's going to end sin. Daniel said there would be an end of sin. See, this is where God judges sin. This is where Jesus puts wickedness under his feet. This is where the judgment happens, not only for the earth, but the universe itself. So, earth is, you are very important to the process of God, but you got to take your place. You got to believe on Jesus and walk in the light of God's word. live being a king and a priest, but don't, but hold on to the living love of God. Okay? And you have to govern yourself with his love. You have to help people that look to you in his love. You have to give them wisdom. You have to take time with people. And every child of God is just as important as you are in God's eyes. So there are no little people, insignificant people. And when people don't understand and they come to you wanting to help, you have to love them. The Lord will show you what how to help people. Even when they're obnoxious, God, you have to help them in his strength. You still gotta, you gotta cherish that soul. But sometimes people will, I've been brushed aside. I've been treated all kind of way. I said, if God ever raised me up in ministry, I'd never treat people the way I've been treated by pastors that I love. And the Lord let me, I believe he let me go through those. I'm not hurt by it. God, before he started, he gave me a strong love for pastors. And I still love them. I don't even like talking about those days. But the purpose of going through that was so that people won't get hurt. See, the leaven of the Pharisees is out there. And people don't know how it looks or how it works. He let me run into and the people that did me dirty or did the things that was less favorable, I put it that way, they didn't know it. They were doing what they thought was okay. They didn't, I don't even blame them. They were just being people. But God, then God knows what they didn't, they didn't know it. That's why Jesus is our high priest, to plead our case. I forgave him. And I asked God to forgive him. I didn't hold grudges. I don't hold a grudge on nobody. But I know what's going to happen. It's inevitable. So when it happens, Lester Sumrall said something. He said, we need to be, I wish I could word it like, it was at the end of that book, Pioneers of Faith. He said, we need to be there to love people in the little things, or how do you word it? To love people when they have doubts and fears, and that includes pastors too. They're pastors of people. Now, I've seen pastors leave a good life to go into ministry. And they move their family many states over with no relatives, no way of having a support system. Nobody to watch their children by faith to help people like me and you. So if they miss it somewhere, I'm going to pray for them. And nobody's going to say anything about what they do because it's taboo to talk about the pastor. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to sow seeds of discord. But you have to understand, you got to stick with the love of God when people are not savory. Okay? When they need you, it's like this. Two of my friends almost got in a fight at work. And one said, what should I do? I said, you have to love him. He said, what about what he said? I said, that's when he needs you the most. It's just like if you come home and your wife fall apart or the husband had a hard day, may have maybe lost a job or lost a promotion or has to go in on some kind of a strike or something, and he's acting out. That's when the strongest member of the family need to walk in love. That's when they need you the most. If they make a mistake, if they do something wrong, if they're frustrated, even if they curse you out, that's when they need you the most. And you can represent Jesus. And they can come back to balance. Now, if every little thing get on your nerves and you can't take it no more and you need to grow up, you need to walk in everlasting love. See, to finish a vision of the Lord, you can take that word vision and put marriage. You can put child rearing. That could be your vision. It could be being a better friend. See, all these principles work. Believe God, honoring him by your faith. He's going to help you do these things. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Love God more than the marriage. Love God more than your friends, because God's going to help you keep your friends. Love God more than your business, if that's your vision. Love God more than your ministry, if that's the vision. And so on and so forth. Enjoy God's presence. He's going to strengthen you to love people that are contrary when they need you to love them the most. And then Paul ended saying, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, and I put it this way, like John said, when I became born of God, see, John said, if you're born of God, you can't sin. I put away childish things. When I became a man, when I became born of God, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then when you're born of God, face to face, when the word is formed in you, you see what God sees. The word of God gives you a God's eye view. But until the word is formed in you, until Christ is formed thoroughly in your life, until you're born of God, you still see through a glass darkly. He said, but then face to face. He said, now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. And now abides faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is the everlasting love of God in action, which is charity. Okay. So we'll end it there. And I thank God for this. You got to have that everlasting love of God in you at all times, at all points in time. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our everlasting Lord, King of Kings. And the old earth is full of his glory. His return is soon. Be ready. Don't be left. Not saying you will. But fill your heart with his word and your cheeks with covenant laughter.